weak solidarity Bricky Team listener when our Minister for Train Killing and Being Offensive, Richard Malls the Bad Guys, caused a stir when he returned from Shangri-La, as those in his vicinity complained of a stench that hung sickeningly in the air. What's that dreadful stink? They gasped. Oh, that's just that thick brown coating on his tongue, an advisor explained, as Richard echoed the source of the brown coating, the US Arms Secretary for Train Killing and Being Offensive, Pete Hegg, soothed the belligerent. A former arch-conservative shock jock, the ideal qualification for train killing and being offensive, so they can make us all feel safe. Don't know why we haven't thought of making one of our arch-conservative omniscient shock jocks the Minister for, although, in fairness, they couldn't be any worse than the one we've got, who, as I said, echoed Pete. What we have seen from China is the single biggest increase in military capability and build-up in a conventional sense by any country since the end of the Second World War. The biggest, Richard, but what about your very, very, very close friend, the USO? Maybe the second biggest, or third, or fourth. Pete said they're the biggest threat. To what? To the US, I was right, to the South China Sea, the West America Sea. Does evil China therefore have a right to the Gulf of Mexico? Correction, Gulf of America, and no. And with that, Richard burst into his new musical delight. Shangri-La, Shangri-La, heaven is the coalition of the willing. Shangri-La, Shangri-La, heaven is fun, 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 trained killing. Shangri-La, Shangri-La, heaven, nothing could be finer than to trained kill evil China. On the train killing that US old big supremo Donald Trample the poor and Pete and therefore Richard and our lot support, the slaughter, destruction and genocide of the non-land, non-people continued apace. Pete and Zion supremo Benjamin Not Another Yahoo's sincere quest for peace thwarted by Hamas, which rejected the peace proposal. Well, more correctly, temporary ceasefire proposal drawn up by the US of and Zion by calling for a permanent end to the slaughter, destruction and genocide, a condition Zion and US of angrily rejected. We cannot agree to any peace terms that prevent us continuing the slaughter, destruction and genocide, they explained. Indeed, the US of Zion peacemakers came up with a brilliant new tactic. Provide a trickle of food to those you're starving to death, then shoot them up when they attempt to access the trickle. Explaining why they had to slaughter the starving, Zion explained that all roads leading to the trickle handouts are combat zones, and anyone entering them will be murdered or, sorry, shot, leaving us to ponder, how are they supposed to get there? Oh, and this US of Zion trickle tactic is titled humanitarian. And then after the US of vetoed an otherwise unanimous UN of the US of the UN of the World Security Council call to end the slaughter, destruction and genocide on the logical and reasonable grounds that the motion was biased because it opposed slaughter, destruction and genocide. Amid accusations of war crimes, Zion informed us, "We have always operated within the terms of international law." The first time we realized international law supports slaughter, destruction, genocide, stealing land and displacement of its people, and starvation as a weapon. Imagine the extent of the destruction if Zion didn't always observe the terms of international law. Thank goodness our criminal law opposes those who oppose slaughter, destruction and genocide, as a goody-goody so-called peace activist, Jasmine Duff, co-convener of Students for Palestine, well, the name says it all, doesn't it, evil, faced the court charged with assaulting two good warmongers outside that Merchants of Death Expo last year. She was ordered to pay $250 to the Palestine Relief Fund. Not sure she'd find that as a great punishment, but also to write an apology to the two warmongers. Won't that be dripping with sincerity? Her genuine contrition was expressed outside the court. It's outrageous that Victoria police are still putting young people and activists through trials for standing up against the genocide in Gaza. Evil has no remorse, has it? On the South China Sea, actually being the West America Sea, and the Gulf of Mexico really being the Gulf of America, showing how evil and rapacious are China and Mexico, Zion says it must prevent the latest humanitarian aid ship, the Madeleine, from reaching Gaza. The Navy operates day and night to protect Zion's maritime space and borders at sea, Zion announced, showing clearly that beach we often see crowded with thousands of displaced non-land, non-people is really Zion. Indeed, is the very site Donald Trump or the Paws plans for the most beautiful seaside resort ever. All the more reason why the non-land, non-people must be moved out of the way. Speaking of Donald, we've always referred to filthy rich Elon must have more as Donald's very, very, very close friend, brackets temporary, and sadly it's no longer temporary, it's just no longer. A week after handing Elon a gift accompanied by high praise for his slashing the public sector, Elon is joining Donald's long list of horrible people, the most horrible people ever. A list comprised of anybody who makes the slightest criticism questions that Donald just may not be, hard as it is to believe, the most omniscient, omnipotent, filthy, richest person of all time. Elon is rightfully upset that as he slashes the public sector and renders thousands and thousands of public workers unemployed, Donald's latest budget could slash the trillions he receives in public handouts, including incentives for people to buy his Teslas. And equally hard as it is to believe, Elon counters that the Don may have been involved in the odd sex scandal. Who'd have thought? Isn't it sad when two great people we so admire fall out, and isn't it difficult to determine which one to barrack for? I think both. Former caring business class party state economic guru Alan Stock Dill again lived up to his name after being one of three persons appointed to bring the New South Wales Party into the 18th or 19th or thereabouts century, getting off to a flying start by telling them women are too assertive and blokes need a push-up, then declaring it was a joke, big laugh, showing what an hysterical stand-up comic is, old Alan, but then we know that because we're still pissing ourselves at his big joke flogging off our public utilities like the SEC and the Gas and Fuel Corporation and telling us, oh God, what a wit, that our utility bills would be so much lower. It kind of worked. The beneficiaries, the privatized utility owners and their shareholders, are laughing all the way to the bank. Our current socialist state might are competing brilliantly in the Yes Minister stakes as the Metro Tunnel project sees two stations falling way behind schedule for the planned opening later this year, but no worries. The government says it can run the trains but bypass the stations. Yes Minister bleed. And like so many big build projects, as they call them, the contractors are finding their tender is falling short and there are cost overruns. Bad luck. You tender to that price, go ahead and finish the job. But no. The government must come to the rescue. The construction behemoths demand, and true to form, the government comes up to the rescue with our money. On the other hand, if the government wants any alterations to a contract with, say, public-private road monopoly Transfer Your Wealth Urban, the private company demands millions in compensation. The great value of public-private partnerships, yet another benefit of neoliberalism. Our private health system, for instance, with its God-given right to absorb public health funding, particularly subsidizing the health insurance industry, but oh dear. Private hospitals are feeling the pinch, blaming the insurance industry for putting profits ahead of health, as if they only exist because they so care about health and they certainly enjoy good health, good healthy profits. But of course, the private hospitals have struck upon the solution. Yes, the good old public purse to the rescue yet again. But I raise this because although the US OB health system is loudly condemned for failing the not-so-well-off, it's about to be transformed. thanks to that medical expert, its Secretary for Private Ultra Expensive Health, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Not sure what the F stands for. Perhaps fake. Fake, I said, not that other word. But the Jr. surely describes his intelligence, as Robert plans to bar US doctors and scientists from contributing to the world's most prestigious medical journals like The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine because, he says, they're all corrupt. Don't know what they're talking about. And Robert is contemplating having his department publish its own journals, bound to throb with reliable, accurate medical advice. Maybe Donald has a complex driving him to appoint to these positions people who are even more stupid than he is, which certainly limits the field. And as the wise and great practitioners of the greatest little economic order of them all reel from the disaster that is a crippling 1.2% wage rise for the lowest of low paid in real terms, the Starvation Army released a survey showing the poorest of the poor have to skip meals and 1 in 20 poorest of are forced to eat from rubbish bins, leading us to contemplate why the Starvation Army doesn't study why the poorest of the poor are the poorest of the poor, why there is poverty, bringing us back to that economy-destroying wage rise. Our old mate, Trubler Wazzy Industry Profits Group Supremo Innes Will Cost the Workers, explained the 1.2% is well beyond what current economic conditions can sustain. Maybe the poorest of the poor should donate to him, give him a helping hand, but the most pertinent logic in a welter of logical, caring business class responses came from AMP on the workers' chief economist, Shame Oliveri Rich, who said the 1.2% to the lowest of low paid would make it, quote, unsustainable if we want to have wage growth. Huh? Do we need to comment on that? Wage growth, 1.2%, is a barrier to wage growth. So finally, with people like Shame and Innes and big economic guru Jim Chalmers' capital, the economy's in safe hands, isn't it? Those lowest of low paid are so selfish, aren't they? They have a lot to answer for. Good morning.